Afterward, Betting Against History, mid-2006. History will determine if President Bush was correct in asserting that the invasion of Iraq made our country more secure. But the indications at this point, during the war's fourth year, aren't good. Globally, fear and distrust of the U.S. government increased. Regionally, the war in Iraq distracted the U.S. military and intelligence establishments from maintaining a single-minded focus on the pursuit of bin Laden and al-Qaeda. So while there is a small chance that the Bush administration's inflexible optimism will be rewarded, that the political process will undercut the insurgency, and that democracy will take hold in Iraq, there is a far greater chance of other, more troublesome outcomes, that Iraq will fall into civil war, or spark regional war, or eventually become home to an anti-American regime, or breaks up altogether. In any of these forms, it would offer a new haven for terrorists. Despite the host of missed opportunities and outright failures, there lay a major victory for President Bush and his plan to transform the Middle East. Like it or not, the U.S. government, through his actions, has been tethered to Iraq and to the region around it as never before. Under him, the U.S. military has carried out its first ever occupation of an Arab nation, and the U.S. has spent hundreds of billions of dollars in an attempt to change the nature of politics there. Whether or not his vision of transforming the Middle East occurs, it appears that the United States won't be detaching from the region anytime soon. "We can never totally abandon it," commented John Lehman, a Reagan-era Navy secretary. "If the government falls, we'll have to go back in a third war. The stakes are simply too high to let Iraq become a sanctuary for anti-U.S. terrorists." For the U.S. government, success really means staying in Iraq for years. The alternatives are failure in some form, either a unilateral withdrawal and abandonment of Iraq, or ejection by an anti-American government. So while it is likely that there will be a series of cuts in the U.S. military presence in Iraq in 2006 and 2007, it also remains likely that thousands of troops will be there for many years to come. The analogy here is to the American War in the Philippines at the end of the 19th century. That episode began badly in 1899, with a combination of poor strategic planning and presidential inattentiveness, and a media that acted as cheerleaders for war. Also like Iraq in 2003, it began as a conventional conflict and was transformed into a guerrilla war. And when U.S. troops proved poorly prepared, and some reacted with brutality, the American public was dismayed. But by late 1900, the U.S. Army had begun to adjust. Commanders spread their troops among the people, where they were able to learn the identities of their enemies and seize many weapons. They trained local police units that, though troubled, eventually became an effective counterinsurgency force. Drawing on its experience in the American West, and resolved not to repeat the mistakes it had made there, the Army was determined to preserve the Filipino by raising his standards and cultivating his friendship, said one officer quoted by Brian Lynn in his History of the Philippines War. By 1902, the war was over, but U.S. forces remained in the country for decades. It was, wrote Lynn, the most successful counterinsurgency campaign in U.S. history.